Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Mikey Meatballs, Eddie Spaghetti, fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss, who is now in second place to Kevin Hench on the Extra Points leaderboard. 54-31-3. That's Kevin Hench. Martin, you got to get him. 53-32-3.
Well,
you're right there.
It's still fun to lead from start to finish. I was trying to give my partners here a chance to catch up, but that doesn't seem to be the case. But I refuse to lose to somebody on minus three, so I'll be stepping it back in.
I was just about to say on minus three we had Dan Hanzus, king of the power rankings, and I had him power rank a number of items. So you would rather, Sal? Are you with Marty? Do you have like some provincial pride in this? Are you rooting against Hench and for Marty?
Yeah.
Or would you rather Harry win? You get three choices.
I don't want Harry to win.
Marty, no. Harry, or Hench. Put those in order. Power rank those.
Martin, Hench, Harry. Okay. Hench is doing something, though. I'm in another league with him, an ESPN league, and we don't pick the Thursday games, right? He's run the board on the Thursday games. He's something like 61-31-3. He's like 40th in the Jeez. Country or something stupid. Yeah, steal that away from him, Martin, please. I know the idea was to go wire to wire, but you're not out of this. You're a game behind.
You know, I just want to give all the people who took out futures on me an opportunity to buy back.
That's,
you know,
smart.
What I'm saying? That's all it is.
That's,
you know,
smart.
The odds just moved from, you know, plus two to plus four. Don't worry. They won't get too much bigger than that. So buy now on your boy Martin
Keep
Weiss.
The market active. Yeah, I was bad this week. I was Will Blackman bad. 5-8. We were both 5-8. We'll talk about the week in general. Let me just shout out to the winners. Pick 'em winner. Bennett Battle, 11 right. Raymond Rollard, 7 right in the prop quiz. Battle gets the $100. Rollard gets the gold cap. And now let's talk Monday Night Football. Sheck, another joke of a night game. 240
night game
yards.
They all suck. I mean, listen, I'm sorry to be such a curmudgeon about it, but we're now 6 weeks in here, fellas. This NFL season, I'm not saying it can't or won't turn around, but Let's call a spade a sip spade. This thing sucks. All the games are terrible.
Not against you, but we could start with taking the Broncos off of primetime, right, Martin? That seems to be a recipe for a shit show.
Yeah, I don't know how much all the games suck versus every seem like the scheduling seems to be terrible, because I think what we saw at 4:25 East between the Bills and the Chiefs, that would have been fine for Sunday and Monday night.
That was a good game. Yeah. Okay,
that was a pretty good game. I feel like it lived up to the billing.
Meatballs asked me, he said, "What was the best game this year?" I said, "I don't know.
That one, Marty, the second half was good. The first half was kind of a clunker, too."
I know. Listen, I don't know what it is. College has lapped. We'll get into college, too. But college has lapped pro football right now. But the Broncos, for sure. And, Sheck, this is your fault. You loved Russell Wilson. I pushed back on it.
I said,
I don't know. I didn't think he would be this bad. I didn't think he'd be 3-for-11, 15 yards in the second half and overtime bad. But between him and that coach, you got offensive lines. You have coaches who don't seem to want to win these games, Martin. And, like, why should I give a damn if they don't?
I think the thing is that the sad is I think everybody's trying their best. Like, you know,
I agree.
Well, no, because that's the energy. Like, if you look back and you'll be like, man, nobody wants to win. How wild is it that everybody wants to win, and this is what we end up seeing?
That would be a great locker room question. Were you trying your best? Bring it back to Little League. Like, hey, as long as you try your best.
Like, along the lines of Dave's, is this a must-win game at the Super Bowl Media Week?
Oh, I love that. The other question that I ask, among the stupid questions I've asked those guys at Super Bowl Week, one of my recurring ones is, is that who's going to want this one more? Because I keep hearing that that's what it's going to come down to. And it seems like you should both be incented to win the big game. Yeah, that's exactly right, Marty. They are all trying, and yet it looks like such absolute dreck. And yes, Sal, you can obsess about how bad blank guy, how bad the highly paid quarterback looks, or how bad this team looks, until you pick your head up and look around. Like, you have the Bills, you have the Eagles, you have the two New York teams, and the rest is just junk. It's just mediocre to poor.
I know, and I heard you with Dan Hans yesterday. You do not. You are just never going to give the Chiefs credit. Spaghetti, right? He won't give the Chiefs credit.
What, are you good impressed with them?
Of course I am, and you know they are. You know Mahomes. You're afraid of Mahomes more than anybody else. Up three or down three with 3 minutes left. You could pretend that you want, you'll throw the Vikings in there or somebody else as the number three. But Mahomes, please don't stop with the fact that anyone in the West is going to compete with the Chiefs, injuries aside at this point.
Chargers are 4-2. They haven't had Keenan Allen on the field yet.
Boom.
That is disgusting.
They don't have Joey Bosa, who's one of the, six best pass rushers in football?
If you're going to play the game where should have lost, should have won, the Chargers could be a two-win team. If you're going to play that game, and I know you like to with the Chiefs, so...
By the way, just as a quick side note, I stand by the Chargers winning the division.
That's
fine. They're 4-2 each.
Do you stand by the Chiefs have this miserable schedule, the stretch up front? They're never going to get through it, and they're probably going to be 5-2 in the first seven against powerhouse teams that were representing the playoffs last year. I'm a Chiefs guy. I'm a Raiders guy too. But I think this is the fourth most interesting division in football all of a sudden. I don't know.
Well,
not impressive to me.
It's almost old news that the NFC East is, three quarters of it at least is
solid,
is really good. And, I think things broke kind of like we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. This broke just right, save us getting the backdoor cover, if not the outright victory from the Cowboys, because both seemed like they had a real good shot of coming through there. Watching that one on Sunday night, you shake your head no? You disagree?
Yes, no, there was no opportunity at the Cowboys' offense don't score points. Cooper Rush had three turnovers. I see where you're coming from. The score was 20-17 at one point in which Philly was covering. But no, which Dallas was covering. But no, Philly was my survivor pick. I was all in on the Eagles.
It was a good
this
pick.
Week.
It was a good pick. Them
first quarter, second quarter, second first half, all over.
But the wild division is the AFC East all of a sudden. Now, we slept on the Patriots, and all of a sudden, are they halfway decent? Are they relevant on some level? The Dolphins now with Tua.
Right.
Do they regain our attention with that? And the Bills are clearly the best team in the AFC.
Let's put it this way. NFL. If you had a bet, because I really love talking about betting. If you had to bet which division would get more playoff teams, the AFC East or AFC West, what are you saying?
I have to pray on that.
I think
I
think the West over under is 1.5 right now. I think the East.
I think that's right.
I think the East has a second 9-win team.
No,
at least
Chargers are going.
Really?
This is the worst. Further injury.
Tell me one game that they should definitely win. They don't have any home field advantage. They don't have anything. You show me their schedule. I'm like, they can lose to this team, this team, this team. I promise you the Chiefs will beat certain teams on that schedule.
Well, but the point is playoff team. So I'll go two there. And I guess the East is going to get at least.
2-2, and then the North gets the other wild card?
I don't know. No, you know what? I back off that. No, I'm sorry. I'm not saying wild card. You're asking how many wild cards are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, only one team can win the division.
Yeah, however.
No, I know. He said total teams from the division.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Marty. I'm sorry. I'm fumbling to find my answer here. I'm trying to talk.
The point is, this was an easy question 4 weeks ago, and now we have to think about it.
I think 4 weeks ago, everybody would have said the AFC West, but as I sit here... Yeah. On the eve of week 7, I got to go with the AFC East.
Yeah.
Because I think they'll get at least two teams in between the Buffalo and either Miami or New England.
I'm with you. I don't think we see a lot of 11-win teams. Not that there's usually 10 or 15, but I think you're going to have a lot of 9 and 10s and 8s in there. I don't see anyone jumping out.
You know what else is scary? New England's picking up that win against Cleveland, too. I wonder how would play out in the wild card standings.
Sure.
As Brady Zappi, what's his name?
Zappi Hour.
Bailey Zappi.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Are the Jets going to the playoffs? Are you ready to assign them
Dave,
one
I
of
just
those
told
seven
you the
slots?
Three teams in the AFC.
He just told
shot.
You. Didn't you hear?
I asked Sal.
He's in second place. I'm going to say no. And, this week they're on the road against Denver, and Denver's a favorite, which is crazy until Denver beats them. It's kind of... I don't know. I do like all the parts of the Jets. I really do. The way their defense runs and they run the ball on you, and Zach might be a better Wilson than Russ at this point. But I don't know that they get to 9. Did I just start something?
Yeah, you just made me think. You should have had your boy power rank Wilson quarterbacks.
Oh yeah,
Interesting. Well, I don't think there's much of a question about that one.
How far does Russ go down?
Wilson. Yeah. There's a lot. It doesn't stop there. Let's go back to the Martin and the NFC East for a second. Martin's right. The Eagles won that game. They did what the Eagles do. They jump out at you early, and that's what we were worried about. I said, what kind of quarterback is Cooper Rush down 10, down 14?
A backup.
He did come back a little bit. It was 2017, but they did what they had to win that game. It was never really, really in doubt. That drive after they cut it to 2017, where they ran all over the Cowboys, that's all you need to know about the Eagles. That said, if Cowboys 4-2, if they take care of business against the Lions and Bears before the bye, 6-2, I can't ask for more than that. I'm not going to be one of these guys like Eddie Spaghetti who has to win every single game. My God.
Is it Dak? And it looks almost certain that it will be Dak now, right?
Yeah.
Against the Lions here. It's almost.
Didn't you watch Sunday night?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott's going to be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys going
forward. Mean, you know, but he has to be medically cleared, which as at the time of this recording, I don't know that he has been, right?
Well, I don't know that he did. I saw Jerry Jones says he wants to play. He will. I don't know. How many times can you say it's stronger than ever? How many receivers can you get on board saying his passes are crisp? And then you saw Cooper Rush's numbers the other. Look, we were fooling ourselves with Cooper Rush a little. He was a bottom five quarterback even statistically, forget about what you want. When it came to passing downs, he was a bottom five quarterback. He just was. So serviceable. I thought we'd be 2-4 at this point, but it's all on the defense. And like I said, 6-2, that'll be at the Eagles, though. When do they lose? They have a bye, home against the Steelers, at the Texans, home against the Commanders, at the Colts, and home for the Packers. Might not happen until one of those last two that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
13.5 wins over under. Nice. I almost have to go over, Martin.
It's going to tweak. I bet they lose to the Commanders. Why? Because it makes this football season. Football makes no sense. And that's exactly what will make no sense. The same guy who a week and a half ago was calling a quarterback was the biggest issue. Well, he'll have a different one this time.
Right.
They play in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Then what you said?
Three weeks. Bye, home Steelers, at Texans, and home for the Commanders.
Okay, so 3 games, 4 weeks. But that'll be right there on Wentz's fingers situation, coming in or out, coming back.
Right.
I know. I can see it in the graphic in my mind's eye. I will be on the Commanders in that game.
Interesting. Shaq, you called Sam Howell to start. I don't know if that you called this finger injury specifically. But
it sounds like it's Heinicke, which is bizarre.
Oh, really?
Given where they are.
They just announced that.
They came out with the Heinicke.
Are you saying then that the second round pick was a waste? So the results are in and he hasn't been good? Sam Howell, he looked good in August for what that matters. But you're going to go with Heinicke over the kid?
This
ain't tracking towards the playoffs, fellas. Hey, Ron Rivera, put the kid in. At least see what he's got.
It reminds you of the Trey Lance thing when they just wouldn't put him in. Like, well, they must be seeing things in practice that are not good. Ron Rivera knows quarterbacks too. He at least acknowledges that it's the quarterback is the difference in the NFC East. What a mess that was. He walked that back. But back to the Jets. Sorry to jump around here. Favorites for both offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Breece Hall +270. Sauce Gardner 3-1 on defense. Oh, Sauce Gardner with the cheesehead. It's a fun team. I don't want the Jets fans to become Giants fans.
It's funny because you came to mind immediately when I saw Sauce Gardner in Lambeau immediately after the game, walking around in the cheesehead taunting the fans.
I did.
You like that?
I like it.
Sal like that.
What? Why not? Why wouldn't I like that?
Well, yeah, I thought you're a Cowboys guy. You didn't like it when T.O. did what he did on the Star, did you? Were you offended by that?
It's off the field.
I love it. You know why? Because I'd hate some. I can't stand when someone. I also think it's a dumb thing to do to use the terrible towel to polish your shoes or otherwise, because you get a pox put on you for doing it. So go ahead and do it. But I don't like it.
I didn't mind it. I would have liked it a lot more if I didn't have the Packers on every Moneyline parlay, Martin. That would have been one of my favorite moves. The Jets are young and fun. They're exciting. Not exciting, this Buccaneers offense and Tom Brady. And, you know, it's one thing I was saying to skip a whole week of preseason, even though that's deplorable in some eyes. At least you only have your own team mad at you. But when you skip a walkthrough and the Steelers hear about it, now it's bulletin board material. Now you got at least 1.5 teams annoyed at you, and then you're throwing tablets and screaming at your offensive line, and you can't move the ball, and they run the clock out on you. They ran the clock out on them, the Steelers, Shaq.
I mean, and then not only that, not to steal your thunder, but knocking out the rookie. And then Mitch, like, I was on the Steelers. Once I saw Mitch Trubisky come in.
We were on the Steelers. You weren't, Jack. We had the Steelers.
Well, you know.
You saw that would make you think that the Steelers could possibly.
The only time I've seen the Bucs crack 24 is against the Chiefs.
That's it.
That was it. Like, that's the logic. You had a big old number and a little total. I'm going to take the dog.
The Steelers had no recognizable human beings in their secondary. That was why I was. And they had generated zero pass rush since T.J. Watt got hurt in week one.
Now, I didn't think they were going to win.
That was crazy.
Well, that's happening more and more. A team's best player is out and they win. Where am I looking? Where am I? Well, I mean, you can make the case with the Cowboys and Dak being out so long. But I feel like there's three or four instances. Of course, I didn't write them down. Where you would think they'd suffer without their star.
Well, I mean, I said already the Chargers without Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen, 4-2 ain't bad if you consider that, plus Rashawn Slater. I mean, those are three of their top eight players on the entire roster.
Yeah. Dolphins winning a little bit, keeping pace with backups, not bad. It's got to be a bigger example I had of this. Had it written down. I don't know.
I feel like the rest of the NFL, Russell Wilson on down, are looking up at the GOAT, and he is giving them cover for their suckitude. Right? I mean, like, it's like, what do you want me to do? Tom Brady ain't doing it either, everybody. Yeah. Like, Aaron Rodgers, the two-time reigning MVP and the greatest of all time, both have been thoroughly mediocre for 6 weeks now. That's crazy.
This is what me and Meatballs were talking about this the other day, because everybody says this NFL season sucks, the season sucks, there's no good teams. I think a lot of it is you would expect Brady and Rodgers to be around 4-2 around this time, and they both look like they are quarterbacking some of the worst offenses in football.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to go out and say, hey, those guys look like they suck, because in 4 weeks we could all look like idiots.
Oh, I think they look like they suck. I mean, listen, empirical evidence. We see what is. They're not good. No, Justin Herbert hasn't been great.
But what are
Kyler
we looking
Murray's
at?
Kyler Murray's been bad.
Because they say it's the two deep safeties. It's the sexier defenses that these guys are not used to. It requires you to put together 10 and 12 and 14 play drives, whereas you were able to throw the long ball and cut off half the yardage in one play. Why aren't the smartest quarterbacks over the last two decades figuring this out? Why is Marcus Mariota 13 for 14? But Brady and Rodgers can't sort it out.
I really think the key is the 14. Like, you look at the Jets, Zach Wilson only completed 10 passes.
Yeah.
And they scored them 30 points, or just over 24 points. Mm-hmm. Like, these teams, like, a lot, if you can run the ball in this league right now, it's going to be really beneficial for you. And I think a lot of teams and quarterbacks have been emboldened to be like, throw. I mean, like the Bengals, for example, they run the ball decent. I mean, they will at least hand the ball off, but they only went under center twice against the Saints.
Right.
But like, they don't run the ball well. I mean,
They will actually try to run.
Right. I got that half right. I got that half right in the preseason. I was huge on Joe Mixon, and I would have gone crazy in our.
Oh, I got him all over in fantasy.
In our auction fantasy league that I was killed off from senselessly by Hollywood phony.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I would have gone huge on Joe Mixon because I figured they were going to feed him like a mother this year, and they have. He just is not doing anything. What is it, 3.5 a touch or whatever it is?
But let me read some of these. No, these quarterback, to Martin's point, you don't have to throw 180 yards to win anymore. Cousins, 175 winner. Daniel Jones, 173 winner. Hurts, 155 winner. And not a great number on the ground either. They had 268 yards total and beat us. All right, Trubisky splits it with Pickett, but that wasn't a big throwing game. Mariota, 129 winner. Zach Wilson, 110 winner. Carson Wentz, 99 winner Thursday night. When did we ever see anything like this? I'm a little nervous. I don't want this to be football.
I agree. Herbert threw it 57 times on Monday night and threw for what? 2.25? That's awful.
No touchdowns.
Right.
I believe that was a Monday night record, if not an actual NFL record.
I think it was an NFL
is that
record.
Right? 57 throws with
attempts.
That's what it was. I think it was an NFL record.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Really weird. So yeah, we continue to not really know what we're watching here.
I just think that you got to see now, if you have a team that can run the ball, if you can get 4 yards a carry, on more often than not.
And play defense.
And play decent defense. Yeah. Any team that's given more than seven that can get 4 yards that's to carry it. And hold on teams under 25, you got to take them as a dog.
And your quarterback doesn't turn it over. Yeah, that's it.
Now, but the best team is the Bills, and their best running back is their quarterback.
Well, I don't know if the best Eagles teams are the Bills. I think Patrick Mahomes drives down, doesn't throw the interception, then we're having a whole different conversation.
Oh, boy. I am just plain missing something. I have no natural bias against the Kansas City Chiefs, and yet I am not as overwhelmed with awe by them, like everybody else.
If Steve Spagnuolo doesn't put his fourth and undrafted rookie corners on islands with 30 seconds left in the second half, in the first half, and Buffalo doesn't go 99 yards right there, I don't know if they come back. Like, that's where they lost the game, because Buffalo came and scored then.
Yeah, that was a last possession type game, Shaq. If they had beaten them, you would have said, oh, they could have easily lost if Chris Jones' penalty is called or something like that. I mean, we could do that till we're blue in the face over what games you should win or lose. But the question is, when the question is posed, should the Chiefs be worried? No, the answer is no. Why should the Chiefs be worried? They're going to make the playoffs. As long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, they'll be fine. Their running game is middle of the pack. I think they were 14th before the Bills game. So, all right, they're not hitting the deep ball to Tyreek Hill. I think they're going to be just fine.
Is there some answer, though, as we try to divine what gives? Mm-hmm. The problem is, and, you know, running the football is owed to more, I think we all agree, has more to do with the O-line than it does the ball carrier. So, and you watch these guys, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, everybody's struggling because they're not getting any protection.
Yeah.
So, in the last 10 years or so, as we see these guys, the offensive lineman, Jeff Schwartz, notwithstanding, as soon as they retire, they lose 150 pounds over like 2 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are like all the better athletes now just given a choice if you're a man of a certain carriage, like, and you're athletic, you definitely go to the defensive line instead of the offensive line. And now the most...
Are you saying at a young age?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why is it why is there such a deficit of offensive linemen all of a sudden?
I've heard
everybody has bad O-line.
Mark was when you're unathletic defensive lineman, then you move to the offensive line. When you're unathletic offensive lineman, you then move out of the NFL. Like, there's no other place for a bad, like, offensive lineman.
But I wonder if the distance is now greater between the defensive linemen, because so many of those guys are hybrid guys now who, even in college, were playing an edge position. You know, they just physically overwhelm. I don't mean push around.
Think about the draft needs, right? We'll see that, right? We'll see Mel Kiper's draft needs, edge rusher. Everybody needs an edge rusher. 10 years ago, was that even a position? I don't even know if you would even consider that. Like, yeah, that's nice to have, but there's only
the Steelers
three
took
in
great advantage of that because they were playing that 3-4 and they drafted those guys. And people were like, what are they getting that tweener guy for?
It was
like,
their secret.
He's ours, and only we're the only team that would take a guy like that.
Yeah.
To that point, how many rushing linebackers like a Micah Parsons would drop back in coverage?
Right.
And prior to. Very recently.
The game's changed. The positions have changed. The offensive lines maybe have not been able to adapt. Certainly not this year. Sheck, what I wanted to get at with the Steelers, didn't you break your father's rule with the team and when they're playing? Explain what happened.
I didn't want to say anything out loud. It was the greatest test to my old man.
Imagine he didn't want to say anything out loud.
My old man for my entire life has said, what happens to Pitt and the Penguins on Saturday happens to the Steelers, good or bad. And it usually is true. And Pitt didn't play, but then the Penguins head-to-head beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, not a jive team.
Tampa Bay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought, Tampa Bay, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe this gives the Steelers a chance. I didn't want to say it out loud and put a pox on it. And so it was. You know what? That's what they get. Tampa is so uncreative. They tried to take City of Champions.
Right.
Sticks where it always.
Did your father rub this in? Did he acknowledge it, or is he trying to teach you a lesson?
You know the old man. He's got to be doom and gloom. There's no way anybody could beat him. This is the way. Cynicism. You express cynicism, you inoculate yourself from the pain, or at least that's the theory. That's not the way it goes for my old man because he's devastated most Sunday nights this autumn. But
interesting.
But this Sunday night was a great relief, and you know what? In this bum league, is it impossible that the Steelers get to the bye with a third win and then they're kind of in it?
You know what?
In their division, I mean.
They played themselves out of the they're the worst team, and I apologize if I did say they were the worst team in the league last week. But they played okay, so they at least played their way out of there, because the Carolina Panthers are the worst. They're the worst. I saw a stat. They have not won a game since, now I'm going to screw it up, 36 games, I think. They've not won where the opponent scores seven. Oh, now I get a call. All right, hold on. Come on, but the spam steps on my punchline here. 36 games in a row they've lost where the opponent scored 17 points or more. Is that what it was?
The last time that the Panthers won a game that the opponent scored over 17 points was October 4th, 2020. And I know that because when I picked them as my pup the week before Matt Rule, when you guys picked them as your pup the week before Matt Rule got fired, I was like, you guys are crazy. They don't win games when the opponent scores over 17 points. And I went back and listened. You're like, that can't be true.
So if it's 2020, it must be 20-something games.
Yeah, it was some 20-something game. I know they haven't covered.
That's crazy. 17's not a ton of points. They can't beat a team that scores 17, no matter who's coaching.
It was really one of those moments that it's like, wow, okay, the resume is here for Matt Rule to get.
Yeah,
like the Dan Campbell is also on the way.
Yeah,
Mister, I've never won a road game in his head coaching career.
One we could see. Nate Hackett getting his head lopped off before Halloween is not an impossible thing when you have the new ownership group sitting in there up in the ownership box with the Formula One guy. What's his name? I forget.
Lewis Hamilton.
They owe that guy nothing,
you know,
except millions of dollars, which is nothing to them.
Well, so that's
what
I mean.
They could fire him.
Yes.
And it's nothing.
This
to
is
them.
All on the whim of the owner, because it doesn't count against the cap, as we just saw. What Rule's going to get $42 million for doing nothing, playing Madden on the side. So it really is up to the owner. It's like, it's play money, and when they've had enough. But yeah, that Carolina team. Now, what do you do with McCaffrey? They trade Robbie Anderson, right?
Gotta get something for CMC.
As a quick aside, I am positive that Robbie Anderson is the reason why I did not cash my pup last week.
What do you mean?
Why? I had the Panthers.
Right.
They had nobody to throw the ball to, and he just couldn't take it. Once he lost it, I feel like the Panthers were tied at halftime with the Rams. He goes, he loses it midway through third quarter, and the whole game's over for them. That's what I get for picking a 10-point dog.
Quick amendment, what I just said, you have to get something for CMC if you're the Panthers. I have to revise it and try and look down past what's in the here and now in the windshield to 2023. The NFC South next year, what's it going to be? The Falcons? I mean, you know,
I don't know. So, all right. So, what's the plan? You win three games, you get one of those five quarterbacks.
I don't know. I'm just saying, my knee jerk reaction is, well, get rid of that. That guy has no value to a bum team. He's a luxury item for a contender. But I would kind of insist, I guess, on a first for CMC.
I'm not sure what the running backs get anymore.
Right.
I remember a time we got a beautiful bounty for Herschel Walker, but that was a long, long time ago. Huh?
I'm not familiar with that.
What?
Politician. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. He's running it. Yeah. He's an independent, I think. I don't know how it goes. But all right. So that's
He was in that movie, The Born Againessy. Yeah.
That's the one.
Doesn't remember. What happened? I don't know who I was. Doesn't matter.
You know
she said, who? I'm some sort of officer of the law, but that's I don't know. Anyway.
He's a winner. He's going to win.
That's true.
Who's
going to win this, though? Here's my quick question for you two. What's more likely? Dallas or Philly doesn't get to the Super Bowl, or Buffalo or KC doesn't get to the Super Bowl? It seems to the point. Here's where I'll meet you on the AFC, on the Chiefs. I mean, it's got to be the Bills or the Chiefs. It doesn't feel like there's any shot for anyone else. Is that fair? Even if it is my Chargers.
You really just did a 180. The Chargers are right there with the Chiefs.
I think they might win the division, but I hear your noise in January that will be a scary out.
I think the three of us, if we got together last year in week 7, we know if we listed 8 teams in the AFC, the Bengals wouldn't have been one of them.
That might be the one. Right?
I'm just saying, with the New England Patriots, so that goes to
Yeah. Patriots are weird. They got to go away.
But the Bengals are the one. But then again, so they rally and the Burrow's figuring it out.
That's it, right? Wasn't it last year? He had some middling games and then he went on a stretch of 7 games, which nobody ever saw before. And maybe return to the bayou was what he needed.
The only thing I caution people who are getting excited about the Bengals right now is bad head coaching decisions, bad in-game decisions that we've covered already.
Sound like everybody else.
And two, they barely beat Andy Dalton's Saints, who had nobody going on offense. They had to rally to pull that one out.
Oh, that was the one. That was the other team who has everybody out. It's like Michael Thomas out, Olave out, you know, who else was out? Who else? What other? Landry was out. Andy Dalton's a quarterback, and they're winning like in the early fourth quarter. Let's get to Spaghetti's Giants here. Because wow. Spaghetti, you talk about cynicism and your father and everything. I hear it on the Yankee side, and we'll discuss the Yankees in a second. They're probably, by the time you listen to this, that game might be over, or at least in the middle of it. He's negative about the Yankees, but these Giants, my God, you have the highest of hopes for this Giants team. 5-1, and they feel like they should be 5-1. They actually do.
I don't know about the highest of hopes, but yes. In terms of do I feel like they should be 5-1, I do. Like that, I do feel like they should be 5-1. Like their defense is playing good when it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones has four like game-winning drives. Like in the advanced stats of him with efficiency is like super high. Like he's playing very good football. Dave was making this point on the last minus three about like Kayvon Thibodeau is like really just kind of coming around now. Like he had a strip sack to really ice the game. That's huge. Evan Neal, since the game versus your Cowboys, Sal, has played much better. That was a loss they actually needed. Like there was a lot of things wrong with that game.
I tried to tell you that. You were so upset. I'm like, you're going to need this. Yeah, this is going to be good for you.
You were right. Hand up. You were right. I was wrong. You know, this beating Lamar Jackson, a guy who's never lost to an NFC opponent as a starter, that to me was like a game, even when like Eli was playing at his best like a decade ago, I feel like the Giants would have lost that game. Like I just couldn't fathom beating this guy who's a, you know, perennial MVP candidate, and they made him look bad. They made him look pedestrian, and Wink Martindale got the best of his old team, and Daboll should win Rookie of the Coach of the Year, and I don't know how, you know, what the odds right now are for MVP, but Saquon Barkley needs to be in the conversation because
his
resurgence and what he does with his team, and he's made them a much better team, and people always say running backs don't matter. Well, this guy matters. Like, I'm sorry, this guy does matter in every phase of the game for their offense, and I think he needs to be part of it, and the schedule right now is going to get very easy. They have the Jags, the Seahawks, the Texans coming up the lines, I believe. They have the bye week right in the middle of the season, which is very good. So it's telling me they're going to be 5-1 is crazy. Yeah. I'm excited for this ride.
Guarantee that they win the division.
I'm not going to do that. The only thing I hope for is that I am going to the Giants game in Seattle. I just hope they win that game because the Seahawks are actually playing okay football. So that's
all right.
That's
I have a few things. First of all, I know Martin and we went over the Eagles and that they should win. They could be undefeated for another 4 or 5 weeks and they're minus 400. Cowboys 5-1 to win the division. Giants 8-1. You know, I would say this. I would do the same with the AFC East, with the Dolphins 14-1, the Patriots 18-1. You need the Bills quarterback. You need the Eagles quarterback to get hurt to have a chance to collect on any of those. But is Cowboys 5-1? Giants are these worth putting a little bit on?
Am I missing a game there? The Eagles are 2-0 in division. Giants are 0-1 at least from the Cowboys head to head, and the Cowboys have at least one strike.
They beat the Giants.
They're 1-1, right?
And they beat Washington also. They're 2-1.
So that
they're two games behind the Eagles, but they have a home game against the Eagles, and I don't know what could happen. Similar schedule.
What's crazy to me is to talk about old school rugged football. I endlessly marvel at this. Mm-hmm. What the Eagles are doing. Like, how do you say that? I saw Mina Kimes speculate about that and join the rest of the world asking, what do you do to even stop what the Eagles are doing? Because when you run that RPO stuff effectively, you always have an extra man. So you always have a numbers advantage on the defense when your QB can make hay on the ground himself with his legs, as Hurts can. And I when Kaepernick first ascended a decade ago, I went to Ravens and Steelers, and I said, you guys, old school defensive kind of guys, like, what do you do to stop that? They're like, you got to smack the crap out of that QB early. And I'm like, but seriously, like, what do you do scheme-wise to stop that? They're like, that's it. You got to break their will. Like, somebody's got to beat the hell out of Jalen Hurts early, and then he doesn't want to run anymore. Like, that's the solution? That doesn't seem like that is definitely going
to
work.
Someone did it to Russell Wilson, although they did design two plays specifically for him, running plays. And then they're like, okay, that worked too well. We'll steer clear of that. Martin Sirianni or Daboll, Coach of the Year?
Daboll. It's not really easy.
You get 4-1 odds on it on Caesars.
When you look at what the Giants have had in the last 5 years. There's not a major turnover between the roster last year and the roster this year.
Yeah.
The only difference is that, you talk about Saquon for MVP. It's not a crazy thing to say. He's a leader for comeback player of the year. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is playing like they might have a question in New York whether or not he actually can be like a starting quarterback there. And a big part of the reason why is because Daboll's protecting these guys, I feel like. Like, they have the most timely – like, they would – they were down 10-0 in the fourth quarter.
Winning without any receivers. That's just that. Now we have like four that are just like, in spite of the
what if Kadarius Toney ever,
right,
when you've seen him pop in the NFL last year, I'm talking about, I don't mean in college. There were some flashes last year where you thought, oh man, this guy, what a steal. What if he ever gets out there too?
Well, Barkley minus 250, comeback player of the year. I look down the list, Daniel Jones 30-1. I guess you don't do it without Barkley. I guess Barkley's the bigger story because it's we went over this with NBA and the most improved and comeback player of the year is usually from an injury, right?
Generally.
Brian Robinson, that's his name, right? The Washington running back?
I don't know if he would qualify.
He doesn't. They took him off the list. Because
they
did? He's a rookie.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, right, yes. Right.
But
makes sense.
And the way you evaluate some of these, he I don't know, Brian Robinson is a bigger comeback story than Robert Woods, who's on the board at 100-1. So
I just feel like the money's got to be on Geno right now.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I mean,
he's 7-1.
I don't hate to I don't mean to rain on the New York parade, but Saquon's left two games already with injury, and it's week six.
Yeah.
Week seven. Right. And like Eddie just said, he's the engine that makes the car go.
Right.
Right. So if he goes down, I just think Geno's odds will.
All right. So I gave you three monster division odds when one of them has Josh Allen in front. Do you take either the Dolphins, Jets, or Patriots, or your choice is Seattle for the West at 15-1 or Giants for the East? If you had to bite on one of those, Martin,
I'd take Seattle for the West.
15-1, right? Isn't that high?
I have to take Seattle with all the injuries that San Francisco has. I think they only have two of their starting 11 defenders, not that will be suiting up next week.
11 starters on the IR combined.
It's incredible. Yep. And they lost their quarterback, and I know that people were mixed on Trey Lance, but the 49ers seemingly were not. They were all in, and now they're right back to where they used to
right.
be. Then you see the Rams struggles, and I think that Cliff Kingsbury he's not going to be coaching come November.
Yeah.
That team. So
I know it's not fun to say, I think, to most people, even in Los Angeles, at least they're apathetic probably in the home of the reigning Super Bowl champs. I think the Rams they'll just be one of those teams that just kind of wends its way through the season. When it's done, they'll be double digit.
Maybe,
wins.
But they're what, 3-3? I could see them still struggling at like 6-6.
I think is coming for them is Odell. I think that'll be a difference for their offense when you throw that speed out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Odell Block.
Well, that's the thing. Like
have Note Boom now too.
Right. I think they're reluctant to sign some of these older receivers because they're not really paying dividends. And you watch like a Julio Jones just get be injured all year long, and you can't make a plan for that offense until he gets right. All right, listen, let's talk about Caesars.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino. It's on Caesars up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXOntario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, we'll be right back and discuss this Major League Baseball. It's going on right now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Guardians, Yankees likely playing right now. If you're listening, Nestor Cortez gets the start. Spaghetti, you could say what you want about the rain and how it benefits Cleveland and Bieber might start, but this was minus 156. It is minus 170. Again, this game's probably still going on. You did not have high hopes for this game five.
I did not, just because, I guess I'm wrong about this Bieber thing, so it doesn't look like he is going to pitch. Apparently, Terry Francona said that he's saving him for the ALCS, which that's kind of strange.
Wow.
To say. And I hope it does, you know, bite him in the you know what. But I just feel like this current kind of core, and obviously, you know, give or take a few parts, like they haven't had a lot of easy offensive explosion like games where you're just like, okay, they put this one out of reach. Like it's like they won 12-2. Every game they play is like 4-3, 4-2, 3-2, 2-1. I'm like, it's driving me crazy on a team that you have like Judge breaks the record. You have Rizzo.
Poor Spaghetti wants blowouts.
Check's team's been out for six months.
Martin team's been out for 3 months. Mine's been out a week.
But that's the point, though. Like, the Yankees are a great team. They won 99 games. Like, they have a bunch of power hitters, and then yet there's no offensive explosion in the playoffs. Like, and then now I understand why people every single offseason call for Boone's head and for Cashman's head. All I'm saying is a team that had guys who could hit the long ball, just like they're just scraping runs together. And
because it gets cold and everybody has a reliever that throws 99 and you see four of those guys a game. And
Cleveland's bullpen's way better. And I think they could chip away at the end. They've been blooping the Yankees to death. I'm glad Nestor Cortez gets an extra day of rest. Gerrit Cole today now apparently may come out of the bullpen because they already announced that if the Yankees do advance, Jameson Taillon's going to take game one of the ALCS. That kind of helps things. But I'm just afraid of the offensive production. I think this Guardians team is so – they're feisty. They chip away. And I just don't have a good feeling about this.
Why? What would hurt more? Are you losing to the Guardians today or are you losing to the Astros in seven? Because that's what I'm going to root for. Whatever you say hurts more. That's what I'll root for.
What would hurt? Okay, the answer for me personally, losing to the Astros again would hurt more.
But you do that podcast with Jen Piacenti, so that's a whole different factor.
Big Astros fan. I don't know if this is true, but my guess is like for the state of New York sports, for the state of the Yankees, losing today versus Cleveland and the ALDS is a lot worse than going seven games versus the Astros in the ALCS, because at least you're one of the final four teams. You took them to seven. They have been dealing with some injuries, the Yankees. Yeah. But the Astros would make my blood would boil.
Two things. One, you're not Brian Cashman. You're a fan. True. And so the Astros would be way worse. You can't lose Astros to the Houston Astros again.
Yeah.
Brian Cashman's better if they go there and lose a seven-game series to a formidable foe in the ALCS. Mm-hmm. Two, the other thing that's wrong longest. Stop calling John Franco Nestor Cortez. I'm on to this. That's obviously old.
John Franco.
Yeah, that's clearly the old Metropolitan pitcher who doesn't want to run afoul of Cousin Sal and Jimmy Kimmel, makers of a Mets documentary.
What did he say? Did I miss something?
Good. You see him? It's a damn look. Use your two eyes, friend. Look, that's John Franco throwing for the Yankees.
I got you. Okay.
Just doesn't want to make Mets.
I'm saying
Mets
Yankees win. Martin,
yes, that's right.
Check Yankees win. Martin, what do you think?
I'm going to go ahead with the Yankees. Cleveland has been a mistake, by the way. It rained yesterday in that thing, and they called it, and the Yankees fans were all pissed off sitting in the thing. They're going to come out, play hard. It means more to them.
I said put a roof on that dump anyway.
Can you believe that's outrageous that they had the people sit in the joint for 2 hours in the rain, and then they called it off?
They could have made that a 4 p.m. game, right? 4 p.m. Eastern, and then they definitely would have gotten it in. But no, it's got to be under the lights and force us to watch that terrible game with nothing else to switch to, that Chargers Broncos.
I'll be dumb when this is over if Spaghetti is in fact has a better handle on his pinstripe pals than I do. I think I'm taking Cortez laying the run and a half.
Really? Okay.
Plus 130.
All right. I probably shouldn't waffle here because I did take the Guardians at plus money, and I did have the Phillies over the Braves at plus money. That was a nice 174 hit. Now, game one tonight, right? Padres at home, minus 120. Phillies even on the take back. For the series, I'm going Phillies. I think this is even as the odds indicate. I really do. Starting three for each are solid. They've been even better in the postseason. Darvish probably gets the win tonight. You got Musgrove and you have Snell. And then Wheeler and Nola are as good as any 1-2, I think, right now. And Ranger Suarez has been doing well as a third starter. And the Phillies, Kyle Schwarber's 1-for-13. When he heats up, I think it's going to make a difference here. I'm going to take the Phillies in 6, plus 450. Check, what are you going?
Gives me no pleasure to pick the Phillies, but I do like, as I always say, I love the atmosphere. And there's something about October ball.
It is good in Philly.
When the ball flies out and the whole place goes wild. You know, the greatest visual celebration is the people behind a goal at an NHL goal. That collective jump from your seats is great, but pretty good is that ball sailing towards the outfield bleachers and all the people like, come on, and then jumping up and down all at once is really fun to look at. And it's even better when people are in parkas and stuff like that, which takes me to my point. It's the Phillies. The Padres handled the Dodgers, which is that's another discussion is how bad these playoffs are for baseball for this stupid format.
What do you like?
Not much right now, to be honest with you.
Is it sports?
This
baseball's whole season's been horrible.
I love sports.
Oh, I know what it is, Sal. I'm sorry. Wait. The puck will drop soon, and then we can finally have a happy
I guess,
day.
I think it dropped already. I think it dropped.
But listen, you're right. I do love sports, and that's why I care so much about leaving them a little bit better than.
But listen, compare it to other sports, and the advantage the better teams got. The Mets had 3 games at home. I get it. You're never going to replicate making up for 162 games and winning 101, or in the Dodgers' case, what was it? 110? I don't know what
at
it was.
At least 110.
Yeah, 111, if you count the game. And 15-5, 14-5 against the Padres. You're never going to be able to make that equitable. But compared to other sports, what are you going to do?
I get it.
What are you
it's all about what's going
to
happen.
Teams have to win.
I hear you. But bottom line is, what the Padres haven't done is played in that chill air. In that chilly air. And I think that maybe would impact the SoCal-based team.
Martin, what's interesting about the Phillies, and I know this is going to change, their fans are rooting for their team instead of against the other team. I know that'll change. I know that's going to go the other way. But
AJ Brown
looked different.
A Sunday night, he said Philly's lit right now. Like, everybody's super into the Philly sports scene.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But do you remember when we had Rob on the show?
Sure. Rob Parker?
It might have been the start of baseball season, but he picked the Padres to go to the World
Series. Oh, right.
They were like 20 games under.
I gave him a free
bet,
I think. Let me check this.
I've been sitting here trying to remember what the football team he parlayed it with, I believe, because it was a football and baseball Super Bowl World Series.
Padres-Packers. Sorry.
Padres-Packers.
Oh, he tried.
That's cooked. It was fun while it lasted.
190 to 1, but yeah. It's probably the same now.
But when I saw this, I just thought it popped back in my head. I was like, wow, with all the Padres have been
through this
year, that they're right here and still right here.
Another one without their best player, Tatis, Machado, whatever's their best player. Another one. one, just a driver.
I'd say a person you'd like to have in the lineup.
Yes, that, for sure. So you're going, but you're sticking with Rob Parker
I'm
and the
going
Padres?
With the Padres. I like the, I mean, it's a really, good series. I've just been betting in the postseason on the teams that I bet on in the regular season.
Yeah.
Philly, I lost like four or five games early. I'm out.
No, no.
I won a lot on the Dodgers. I mean, I won a lot on the Padres and the Dodgers. So
I hate this. The team that beat us versus the team I can't root for because it's a huge rivalry. So now I have to. I'm running out of teams. It's the Guardians is the only team I can root for at this point, right? Can't be the Astros or Yankees.
No,
indeed. What are you going to do?
So
you can't root for the Phillies as a Pirates fan. You're going to go for the Padres.
I feel like Dave is in this Pittsburgh allegiance while he shouts it out all the time.
Yeah.
I mean the evidence is in the graphic. Picked the Steelers, you picked the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Bucks. Babyface Joel Solomon has espoused upon it several times.
He did say it.
This football season, in fact.
Yeah,
I just want to
have some confidence.
Committed.
And you're getting 10 points.
Now. Who is more right more consistently about that football team.
Martin and Hench.
If only somebody was keeping track.
I'm not talking, listen, week to week, whatever. I'm talking about when all hash is settled at the end of the year. Who is more consistently right about the Pittsburgh Steelers than Dave Damashek? The answer?
Who?
I don't know. Dave Damashek. That's who. That's what I meant to say.
All right. I'm going Phillies here. NBA. God, it's too much. There's too much. It snuck up on us here. Opening night.
It is too much.
Martin,
we can use an extra 2 weeks.
Who's winning this? Who's winning it? I mean, it's going to – boy, Golden State has some preseason woes here with the – what are they going to do with Poole?
I know who I'm not taking. I'm not taking the Warriors, and I'm not taking the Celtics. Those are two.
Why wouldn't you take the Warriors? Just because it's too low? They're at the top, both plus 575 on Caesar. Sorry to interrupt. Clippers plus 650. Nets and Bucks 7-1. Go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, something about this Warriors team and the way the whole Draymond situation, Steve Kerr says it's the biggest thing he's ever had to deal with. Yeah, Draymond's not suspended. Mm. And I think that in that side, that organization, especially when you look at, hey, they're $400 million. They're $400 million over the luxury tax. Right. So like that's their luxury, not salary, not nothing. And I get that Chase Center apparently is printing money and every 365 days out the year, 365 days you making money in there. But eventually you got to run out of cash. And I think that Draymond Green ain't going to get paid the way he wants to. And there's going to be some fissure there. And I don't see them.
So he either walks or sits or some. I mean, everybody sits, but he's going to sit more than normal because he's not going to have a deal.
I mean, not only is he not going to have a deal, it's also, too, like, the young fellas came and got a bag when it was his turn.
Right.
So there's more into it. Like, he was a max-ish player, and now he's going to have to take a massive pay cut. Nobody likes that.
I will defer to you, Marty, on this.
All right.
Easily. I'll lean on your mastery of where this is right now with Golden State. But don't you feel like they've kind of bridged the gap past their big three into a new era where they can succeed? They could move on from Draymond Green and be fine.
Yeah, but they haven't, though.
But I'm saying
that's the thing.
If they purged him, I don't think it would be disruptive. He would be pissed, but in Golden State would be belly aching. Like, what are we going to do without Draymond? They understand.
But they haven't yet. That's the thing I'm saying. It's like, it's kind of like a first. It's not like Christian McCaffrey. It's like, not that Christian McCaffrey's out here punching people in the face at practice, but the asking price, right? It's like the asking price. No one's trading two first rounders for Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
What the salary that Draymond is commanding and actually commands right now and will next year in his player option, nobody wants that. Unless they're like a Oklahoma City who's trying to. They're trying to take on salary to be bad.
So you're saying as long as he's there, as long as he's not paid, there's going to be friction.
I think that you can't. It's just going to be a black cloud over the whole thing.
Hey, Kerr, go. Yeah. I mean, Kerr can say, like, go do a podcast. That'll be your activity for the evening, Draymond.
That's what, honestly, I think he missed the boat. Draymond Green should have retired after punching Jordan Poole and released that podcast. He would have been the number one sports podcast. Yeah. And then from there
maybe
on,
he should do a Manning cast. During Warriors games.
I mean,
that should be his new
the
thing.
The sky's the limit after that, right? Once you got that you're the number one show.
From the bench.
Hey,
he's at the end of the bench and is never takes the warm-ups off. And whoever's sitting next to him is like, that's next up on the Draymond cast.
Colin Coward, something weird happened at work. I need about $16 million. You got me? You got me covered. So who wins, Martin?
I'm taking in the Sixers at 12 to 1. Or, I'm taking 13. The Sixers 13 to 1. Yeah. Yep. This Sixers team, you know what? I love Joel Embiid. He's, to me, one of the few players in the league that you got no answer for when he's on his game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they improved their roster around him. And the only thing that really truly scares me is, again, I'm betting on Doc Rivers to win an NBA Finals.
Yeah.
So that's a terrifying prospect in and of itself. But I'll take the Sixers, and they'll beat the Clippers in the NBA Finals.
I have the Clippers also in the Finals getting beat by the Milwaukee Bucks.
I like the Bucks too.
Middleton, that's a great pick.
I think Middleton's going to miss the first couple of weeks here, but I think they were Chris Middleton away from going to the Finals last year. Long series against the Celtics anyway.
Definitely true. You're
can't
right.
say enough about Giannis, Holiday, the perimeter menace as he is. Deep, deep team, right? You may not like betting these guys over-unders when it comes to June, but Grayson Allen, Wes Matthews, Connaughton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, all still back. They have Joe Ingles. You know, I think Budenholzer figures it out. Win in the 50s range and, you know, get a top three seed, and then everybody get out of the Bucks' way. That's the team I'm picking to win it.
Well, you're all around it, and for the it's funny. Like, what have you done for me lately? And a guy who's been out of the spotlight for a while, you tend to forget. But you're exactly right about Chris Middleton. Same goes for the best player on the team that I say wins it all. I'm not happy about it because I've gotten the high hat from Steve Ballmer. Should have changed the name to the Hollywood Knights when he had a chance.
He won't even talk to us about it. We tried to get him.
It's so rude. It really is rude. Nevertheless, that poor decision aside, I think they finally do it.
Interesting.
I don't think there's any of this. I think when people say like, "Oh, these kids, these 24-year-old guys don't care about some black cloud over the organization."
Right.
I think they're now. I think sometimes that does insinuate itself into the locker room. I think they're so far past that at this point, it makes no difference.
All right. Now wait. So you have. I'm going to look at these exactas here. So Martin, you had Sixers.
Sixers over the Sixers
Clippers.
Over the Clippers.
70 to 1. Mine always pays 35
to 1.
How about
this? Clippers, Sixers over the Clippers in six.
If you can, oh, I know.
If you go that far down.
That's only even odds for some reason. Caesars is spitting that out wrong. All right. Well, those are good. Those are fun to play with. Let's go MVP. Luka at the top plus 390. He was at the top last year at this time. And then I think Martin, they were almost immediately eight games out of first place. And then he dropped from consideration. And then it was Embiid and Jokic and Curry up there. Jokic coming off a two-time winner. They don't really give it three in a row. They stay away from that. They did it with like Wilt and Larry Bird, a few of them. But I think they steer clear of Jokic, who's 12 to 1 as a two-time champ. Shaq, who are you picking for MVP?
You know, and I went with Luka last year, and I do feel like we're – I don't know what it is, what it's owed to, but somehow the Mavs, people ignore them quite a bit.
At the conference finals last year, right?
Yeah, and there they are at, what, 27 to 1 to win it all? I'm going with Ja here. You know, he's peaking as a player, as an individual. That team should be relevant in the West. It adds up to him. You know, I mean, he's going to track statistically. He's going to be near the top in those key numbers. I think the issue is how high up do the Grizz go with him? As long as they're, it's
a regular season award. So right. They were a two seed last year, right? So here's what's the good and the bad. They did very well, Martin, without Ja Morant last year. It was weird, wasn't it?
They were
scoring like 130. The pro is SportsCenter highlights. This guy gets the rim. He rises. True. He's going to be top three. Oh, top three. It's going to be Ja every third night, every night he plays. So I like that. What number you got there? 14 to 1? Pretty good.
Let me look back.
14 to 1 right there. All right, Martin, who's the MVP?
I'll go with Giannis. That's who I thought should have been last year. But really, I guess it should be what team is going to be five wins over 500 in the West? And who's the best player? That's going to be your MVP. That's been the thing the last 2 years. So I guess if things like winning and being a top three seed in your conference and, shooting a great percentage from the floor and defending great, and if those things still matter for the MVP, I'll go with Giannis.
It did seem to matter at one point. Then Westbrook broke it, and then it mattered again for a few years. And then Jokic, were they a six last year?
They were a six seed. And through, I believe through Jokic's entire MVP reign, he's won one playoff game. So, but it's a regular season award.
It is.
You like to think the regular season has some type of tell or say of what may happen in the
playoffs. I thought it was bad he got the MVP last year.
I had I had bet him, so I was I had to pretend.
You are representing the universe here.
I had to pretend to be outraged if anyone said anything other than Jokic. But 12-1 indicates that they're not giving him a three-time win. And Murray's back, right? So you don't have that. You at least had that. Like, how is he doing this with this lineup? Which is what I always say with Judge. Like, all right, put him on the Angels. Are they a first-place team? No. I'm with you on it. I'm with you, too, on Giannis.
It would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Let's say, like, God forbid, LeBron and AD miss half the season and the Lakers are the three seed. And it's all because of Russell Westbrook.
Right. They're even odds to make the playoffs. Which way you go with that?
I don't think they make the
playoffs. No? It's so much more fun.
Really?
Make it that way.
I don't.
You think they don't make the playoffs?
Even odds.
I don't. I mean.
I'm sorry. Plus 160. They were even when I got them last year. Yeah.
But even with all that, it's all the same stuff had to be true that had to be true last year. Mm-hmm. LeBron's got to play over 65 games. Anthony Davis has got to play over 65 games.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook has either got to be out of here or to the bench.
Right.
Right. And now I get that it's all.
Well, the Patrick Beverley is the fit, or is he not?
And that's the other thing. Why would, of all the people to sign, you know, the Lakers are going to be, a must see TV every single night. But in terms of winning and losing, like, Patrick Beverley really thinks that he's a great shooter and the reason why his teams make the playoffs. Like, he looked around the Lakers locker room and said, don't worry, guys, I got us.
Right.
In a room with LeBron. And it's like, I just don't know how that's going to work. USC, I was working already in preseason. Like, you know, let's huddle up. Russ is like, nah.
I get what you're saying, but also where he goes, that those teams do tend to produce, right? I mean, you wouldn't think that team's just going to be like go through a 3-week stretch of like, boy, they just don't seem to care out there. They're just playing out the string or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You talking about Russ?
I'm talking about the
Beverly.
Lakers.
Oh,
Beverly.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, but I don't know how much of that has anything to do with him.
I think he's one of those guys who, you know, in a otherwise meaningless first week of February kind of game where he kicks his teammates in the right,
so
that's the vibe he gives.
Remember Hard Knocks when Jamal Williams was crying in practice, and we came in here and we were like,
"Oh yeah, what
are you doing? It's training camp."
Yeah,
I feel like that's Patrick Beverley.
Same way,
yeah. Like, I think, I get it, bro. You care, but
I think
it's
a coach doing that, who cares? It's meaningless. I think a peer group kind of challenge like that. No, I don't. Yeah, I hear it's a fair.
I'm listening there. I'm sorry. I'm on my phone here. I'm looking for a picture of Patrick Beverley, who was very nice to me. He was a judge in the Jimmy Kimmel Live 17th annual belly flop competition. And he was very nice to me. He took a picture.
Was Fat Aquaman there again?
He was not. He did not make an appearance. It was me, Patrick Beverley, Aunt Chippy, and Coolio. But where is it? Probably one of the last pictures taken of Coolio. It was a few weeks before his death.
You said picture. It sounded like pitcher. Remember that? That's one of my great bits that I pitched. Jimmy in summertime standing doing his monologue and going like, whoo, it's so hot in this studio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Coolio. And Coolio breaks through a wall and brings out pitchers of Kool-Aid and starts serving them to everybody.
Didn't make it?
You know, it actually was approved, and they couldn't find Coolio for some reason.
Well, not going to be able to get him now. There we are, right there. How did Aunt Chippy live longer than Coolio? It's unbelievable. all right, we'll be right back. Let's do play of the day. Rhys Hoskins over 1.5 total bases, plus 120 tonight against the Padres. He's 6-for-16 versus Yu Darvish with a home run. That bat bashing, huh? I don't think I've ever seen someone spike their bat.
That was awesome.
And then live to tell about it the next at bat, right? That was very strange. He pounds it into the dirt. It's hard to root for this team. But tonight I'll root for Rhys Hoskins over 1.5 total bases. Sheck, what are you going with?
Am I okay to stick with Cortez? Lay in the 1.5, plus 130, or too late, or too early in the day?
It's up to Spaghetti.
What am I going to
do? All right, he says yes.
It's a jinx.
Well, we want to get a graphic up in time for anyone to
be. We have time. The game doesn't start for another hour.
All right, -1.5, Cortez and the Yankees.
That's right.
Martin, you got a lot to. You got hockey, basketball, you can do anything here.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Seeing as I realize that hockey I missed that puck drop, I guess. Yeah. I'm going with the 76ers and the points.
76ers and the points. Yeah. All right.
Well, as of now, they're plus +3. And so,
if they don't cover, will you retract your pick for them to win the championship?
No, I think they'll win.
It's a long year.
I think
it's
they'll a win. Long year.
Hey, quick college football talk. Shaq, you watch college football. Mart, you too. It's been bad. The games have been better than pros. If you could stick around, if you're able to donate a few hours to college football, they just are. But this is the first time, Shaq, Alabama is not favored to be in the top four. Did I say that right?
Yeah, and you can't, you know, Spaghetti made a good point, too, that on -3 that...
he did? I listened to that. I didn't hear
it. He actually made a good point. I should have used the ad. Okay. That's always the way to insult somebody when they make a good point. Spaghetti actually said something that was halfway decent. That this would be the year to have the 18 playoff.
Right. Yeah, or 12.
Right. But, yes, I mean, it would be competitive this time. It wouldn't just be handing... putting somebody into the Bama buzzsaw if you.
But Shaq, you're going to hate this because that Tennessee win. Tennessee's on the other side of the SEC, so it doesn't touch their ability to make the SEC championship. So if they run the table and beat Mississippi and then beat Georgia or Tennessee, they're still going to be a one-loss team that everybody's going to pick, right?
Yes, I know. Believe me.
But
I'm already sick about what might go down. There might be three teams from the SEC.
I think there's another loss in there.
They
gave up 52 points. And, you know, you said on -3, nobody saw this Hendon Hooker. We do have to give Harry credit.
I'm about to say, nobody.
He had him at 40-1.
Harry has told me about Hendon Hookers for so long.
I know. He was like 12 years old.
But the first time, I had never seen Hendon Hooker before this football season started. Yeah. I thought Hendon Hooker was like a white dude with long hair.
That's like Hooker? I guess I could see that being a white guy
Hendon Hooker sounds to me like he plays like the banjo. Yeah. You know, like, right. But Harry had told me about this dude in like June. I was like, who are you even talking about?
He wouldn't shut up about him. He's second now at plus +450. See, I still say Stroud's going to win only because, Martin, that the only game that matters is Michigan. They're going to be favored by 3 touchdowns every game going into this. And I think by the time that hits, what's that, Thanksgiving week? I think by then he'll be like a minus 400 without getting tripped up. But and Hooker, obviously at Georgia in 2 weeks, not going to put up 52.
That's the thing. I mean, he won't put up 52, but if they go into Georgia, if they take Georgia and win, it's his to lose, right? If it's Hooker's Heisman to lose.
But you know what the spread is on that? I already looked ahead.
Ooh, and it's in Athens.
Yep.
Georgia, I bet it's Georgia lay it. Oh, no way. It's Georgia given 5, 4
right,
and a half,
right
five?
In the middle between you two. It's 10.5.
Whoa.
Martin was closer.
I feel like, that's
well. I mean,
they already beat a team as a 10-point underdog.
To me, the dark horse, relatively speaking, is Stetson Bennett to get the Heisman.
Yeah.
By the way, I like these. I like when you try to assess like season to season. Maybe one good through line. You don't see them that often, but with all the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Kenny Pickett almost won the Heisman a year ago, and now Hendon Hooker is. If a guy's 23 or 24 and still playing quarterback, that seems like that would be an intellectual edge for you.
Interesting.
You know, when you're throwing against 19-year-olds, that's got to be, what's the difference 5 years at that age?
Who are the older? Wanky was an old one, right?
That was Wanky, some big, there was some BYU guys are always older by definition because they
wasn't
do their...
Like 26 in
college?
Yeah,
I think so. As
a kid, I did not have any frame of reference as to what that meant.
I think he was like a 27-year-old pro when he was.
He was a 27-year-old pro.
Brandon
Whedon was also like that.
Right.
Like, you're a full-grown adult playing against, like, you know, you go to a high school football game.
It's true.
These kids, I mean, some of these kids, while they look like they can go play D1, they're slight. They're not. Right. They don't have that grown man body yet.
Exactly.
Whereas at 26, you got the body you're going to have.
Joe Burrow was he was 22 when he won the title, right? He wasn't.
No, he was 20. He and Lamar Jackson are the same age.
Right.
That was the whole big thing. But like he just transferred a year. It's not like he went and go play baseball to try something else and then came back.
Who was some old ones? Was Gino Toretta old? I forgot. He is now. Definitely is now. I don't know. We should go over that, like the older and the younger ones. All right. Shaq, Mr. Lister. Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern.
I hope you're listening now because I think if you're listening to this while the Yankees are playing, I feel a little bit bad because Eddie Spaghetti is obviously a Yanks fan and Michael Fabiano, our guest, is also a Yanks fan, and it might be the ninth inning while we're doing Mr. Lister.
You'll be doing him a favor after Cortez gives up six in the first.
Okay, maybe that's true. Maybe this will be a nice distraction, or it'll be a tie game in the ninth, and we'll be sitting there with two Yanks fans. What'll be more fun than that? It's like listening to Cousin Sal and the Degenerates talk about fourth quarter football. By the way, I did catch you the other night. Yeah. Delightful.
Thank you.
Bum games, it really makes them far more
gambling
palatable.
Is great. That live line is always there for you on Caesars and
it's just fun. Yeah. I mean, I this thing of like that, it's cute that I know Al Michaels is a legit treasure and everything, but I don't know, like Troy Aikman and Kirk Herbstreit and Al and everybody, like I get you should acknowledge that these games suck. You're sitting there like everybody else. But the belly aching about like, oh, I have to sit here and watch this. I'm sorry that you're getting paid $20 million to do this.
Dave, this is a next level step for you. Complaining.
That's right.
Complaint.
They're telling me about it.
That you have a complaint about.
Yeah, that's right.
That's third level.
Do as I say, not as I do.
So now he's complaining about you. Complaining about him.
That's right.
So about something that everybody's agreeing with that they don't like. How dare you complain about what I also don't like? Right.
I am like chili or a wiener. I fit into no category. I am one of one. Now, toe the line, Al Michaels, and make it nice. Don't complain about being rich and having to watch a football game.
How about this? Make it easy on everyone. Let these guys drink. These games are on cable. They're on streaming. It's football anyway.
Harry Carey and Myron Cope and all the rest of them were having a sip during games. Why that became an evil in me, I'll never understand.
There you go. All right, so there's Mr. Lister. You got minus three with Kevin Hench tomorrow. My God, the world-famous Kevin Hench, 54-31-3. Martin. Lemon pepper parlay with Will Blackman. That's going to be fun.
I'm going to ask him what the dumbest decision was. Mike McCarthy running hurry up instead of challenging.
Oh, crap. I forgot. Well, I forgot Martin's meat egg.
I got it. Let's do it.
Go.
Mike McCarthy ran hurry up instead of challenging CeeDee Lamb's catch as if he wasn't the person who should have been challenging.
I don't know what beats that. Yep.
All right. Brandon Staley, it worked out, but playing for a field goal to win that game last night after watching how Dustin Hopkins had kicked the past four field goals.
Yes. He had Jesus Christ on his side. We didn't know it at the time, but go ahead.
Right. Yep. And then this one is kind of a pot shot. I don't know how much longer he'll be around here to be involved in the Martins Meatheads because I generally try to keep it to coaches, our head coaches at least. But Nathaniel Hackett, he called a timeout to ice the kicker.
Yeah.
With 17 seconds left on the play clock before the kicker, who was going down to one knee in pain every time. He didn't even, like, you know, generally you try to time it to where if you get it where the holder, you know, the holder has his hand down, he puts his hand back, he looks into the ball, now the ball is snapped. Yeah. You time it to go up with the snap of the ball so the kicker goes and kicks it anyway to not mess up the routine.
He has to swing the leg, right?
Then he has to swing his leg, which has been surrounded with this transformer for the whole second half.
I didn't see that. I think you're right about that, but maybe he doesn't trust. He knows his limitations. He's like, I'm going to screw this up. I'm going to call it too late. I need at least 16 seconds left. I'm going McCarthy. We should have talked about that more. It was a first down. I didn't think it was a first down until I knew they hurried up. I'm like, oh, now it's going to be that we should have reviewed it. Bootleg, fine play if you're Jalen Hurts, but you take that running option out of if it's Cooper Rush, and that's exactly what happened. I'll go that. Martin's Meathead, right. I'll go there.
I like Marty's quite a bit, but I think the correct answer is Todd Bowles. You got to bench the guy. He can't show up for the Saturday walkthrough, and he can't play on Sunday. I'm kidding, but only like...
If they bench him, you might lose, by the way.
I'm only like 60% kidding about that. Like 60-70%. I get you hold your stars to a different standard, and if it's Tom Brady, but he is kind of at this point holding that franchise hostage, right? Yeah, guess what? I've decided I am going to come back after all. Yeah. Okay, but you're not going to try. You're going to ghost training camp. You're going to go to a wedding and then not be there for the walkthrough. Like, you're kind of the reason that we have a shot at going to the Super Bowl. If you're going to half then you know, what are we supposed to do?
Do you
here,
think
Tom?
He's as embarrassed by this year as we hope him to be?
Yes, and I think he's. I think he regrets it.
100%. You don't think he's like, this is all going to come together? And no, we're gonna win
I think
10
he
games.
Regrets it, and he's too far in. I think he's.
Yeah, but they're going to win that division. They'll win the division.
They are going to win the division, and they have an easy road coming up, so they're going to be in the playoffs and all of that.
That's
but in the here and now, what with his behavior in training camp and the It like, but first of all, doesn't show up on Saturday for the walkthrough. Mm-hmm. But then during the game, berates the offensive lineman, who I'm guessing we're all at the Saturday walkthrough that he wasn't there for. Right. But he still, because he's the GOAT, can yell at them and shout them down and mm-hmm. humiliate them in front of millions of people on TV. Just think about it this way. What if this were Foxborough? What if he were still on the New England Patriots in an alternate universe?
Well,
does he pull this crap there? Would he get
too.
Away with that?
Yeah, that's going too far the other way.
You can do that. Yeah. I'm not even talking about Belichick. I'm talking about you can get away with that in Florida. If you did that in a football town, people would be like, hey, this guy's done. Mm-hmm. Well, I did Pittsburgh there. I can't do Boston.
Free Florida. Florida's free. Yeah, that's it. That's why they go. All right, there you go. Lemon Pepper Parlay, -3, Mr. Lister, against all odds. We preview the NBA. We go over most improved. I don't know. What did we do, Spaghetti? MVP. Who's going to win the title? Over under wins. And then miscellaneous props. We did it all. Check that out. Spaghetti and Jen Piacenti about to fire up Waiver Wired, Megan Fun of Sports tomorrow, covered in glory later in the week, and that'll do it. And I would just want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.